So, what a privilege it is,
yikes,
to stand up here and talk to y'all. Actually, talking to y'all is easy. You know, it's just, I'm a great student of the Word of God. If there's any questions that are being asked when someone's teaching, I'm like answering them, and oh, I know the answer. You know, it just comes natural. But to get up here and put together something to teach is just something new for me, and I'm really grateful for Karen to have this conference and to consider us women and to encourage one another this way. Dan's been doing it, and I love it. I love when she teaches, and now I have more women that I'm like, all right, you know, we can do this together. So I have the privilege of speaking to you about H, honor to suffer for Christ. And I just want to kind of review in my notes. Karen talked, what really spoke to me was the salvation, assurance of salvation and eternal security, which is huge. That's a great way to start out. You know, without that, we are wishy-washy, and we've all been there. I mean, we've all forgotten all these, you know, just that eternal assurance. And then Anne, noble-minded, must be in the Word. Okay? I was a believer at the age of 11 through Awana Ministries. My mom sent me there to have a Friday night free. Me and my brother went. And it was actually the first Awana that's in Chicago, the very first church. So these are the warriors. And I think about Gladys, our friend, Dottie and I, our friend in Prescott. Her father was one of the first five to start Awana. Talk about, you know, a target on your back. And so I went there. We played the games. Eventually, you know, we did Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. We memorized all the scripture and everything. I didn't know, even realize what I was doing. I was just following along. And I would say after about a year, someone sat me down and gave me the gospel. And I remember, gosh, it just came back, just weeping. I mean, just sobbing as I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess God knew what I needed. And even though my mother didn't realize it, or she had no understanding of, you know, of the scriptures or anything, so I don't blame her or anything, but God had a plan to put me in that place to become a believer. Thank you, Karen. And thank God, because my life was not the, you know, like, I didn't make the best choices for a long time before I got into the Word of God. So, Anne, just to be noble-minded in thinking that we must, I don't know why it's so emotional, we must be in the Word of God. It's the only way we get to know who we are in Him. We get to know who Jesus is. You know, He's just not the, I was Catholic, raising up, Christmas time Catholic, you know, not just, and they spoke Latin. They spoke Latin. I'm like, okay, how was I supposed to get this? Even then, you know, given 50 cents and thinking, should I keep it or should I put it in? You know, I didn't have God consciousness, nothing. But, you know, I mean, just being noble-minded, learning who we are in the Word. And then Gloria, comfort of God, comfort in suffering, which I'm going to be talking about, and she spoke about it also, took some of my verses. they go hand in hand, and what a perfect person to go hand in hand. I love this woman. I love her so much. And so, now I'm doing the H, and I have the freedom. I have the freedom to do the H, honor to suffer for Christ. Freedom, you guys, that we have here to gather like together. And the most annoying thing is a guy with a leaf blower, you know, that's kind of stopping us. But in Pakistan, it's not open like that. You don't have the freedom. When Fassel came to the United States, he remembers when he stepped through immigration in Chicago O'Hare Airport, and he stepped on the cement. He says, "I stepped on the New York State ground, freedom, the ground of freedom. I stepped on the cement of freedom," and he really felt that lift of the oppression and having. I don't even know the experience of it, because I have been free. I've been free to make an idiot out of myself, and I've been free to walk with Christ. So, you know, so the freedom to speak to you, and that's Fassel's story. I have a huge bondage story. That's why every time we sing worship music and it says, you know, break the chains, my hands, I don't do it on purpose. It's just my hands go up because my hands were chained. I was chained to drugs. I was chained to no self-worth, not even under just so many things. The choices that I made and the heartbreak that it brings with those. So, and I'm sure that you guys have experienced some type of bondage, oppression, captivity, or even slavery to, I mean, go, there's a number of reasons. But we've all been a slave to sin. It's at the very beginning, and even now, we have things that we need to break free from. And that's our privilege, and thank God that we have Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the knowledge and to break free from those things. So before I get into our study, I just like to go to the Father, asking Him to use me, a willing vessel, and so that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us with every spiritual blessing, because according to His promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our growth comes through the Scriptures, so please join me in prayer, as God is Spirit, and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So let's pray. Lord God, you did it again. We are here, gathered together, just taking in the Word of God, sharing our experiences, our love, our failures, with the only one that cares, the only one that can comfort us, the only one that was willing to go to the cross and bear our shame and sins, willingly. We rejoice with you, knowing that you are sitting at the right hand of God. God our Father. We all have a Father, and His name is God. Thank you, Lord, for making a way so that we can be called children of God. Be with us. Send your Holy Spirit, and may the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct us through this study, and continuing on through the day. And it is in your precious and holy name we pray, Jesus, with love. Amen. So, when I study, I usually have verses that I like to take away, and I try to remember. I try to memorize it, and then usually I'll color code it in my Bible, and then, you know, or write the date next to it. And then whenever I'm reading through the Bible or doing a study like that, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, it kind of connects you. So there's the verse that goes along with honor to suffer for Christ that I chose, which is in 2 Timothy 3:12. If you want to put in your Bible, because we're going to say them a couple of times during the time that I'll be speaking. 2 Timothy 3:12. Put like a little piece of paper there if you want. You don't have to. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Do we all desire to live godly? Is there anyone here that's like, not today? Maybe moments, right? Okay. The answer that I found for, maybe it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit. The answer to that was Romans 8:18. So that's the other verse that we're gonna recite or say out loud. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Revealed in us, that's sanctification. I mean, this is an ultimately glorification, but you know, who I was at the beginning of my walk since 2001, when I decided to pick up the Bible and get to know this Jesus that I believed in, that I said, oh, I'm a Christian, and they'd be like, well, you don't act like a Christian. and then I finally surrendered all. I finally surrendered all. I was like, okay, I'm done with this drug life. I'm done with, you know, being in jail, being really abused by my own decisions. And I said, okay, I'm going to try this Jesus. And I began to read the Bible. I said, I only knew Catholic, so I would say the rosary, but I said it with meaning. And I'm thinking, God is really listening to this. You know, it's not like the old way that I used to do it. And then I would stop and ponder, you know, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. And I would think really slow and think about it. And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with these prayers and anything, but I hadn't gotten to Matthew 6 yet. So I mean, it's just my experience. And maybe whoever's listening now or will listen in the future will say it's that simple. And so it is through the Word of God that we really, really open up our minds. Okay. Honor to suffer for Christ. Honor. To fulfill an obligation, to keep an agreement, execute an action. And for us women, honor is translated virtuous. And in Proverbs 31, it defines and describes a virtuous woman. Okay? So we're going to look at the word virtuous more than honor and kind of dig into that word. Okay, so a virtuous woman is one who leads her home with integrity, honesty, discipline, and self-restraint. 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 Okay. Also cares for her family, doesn't forget to help the other disadvantaged people God brings across her path, right, Gloria? Takes the time to look after her own health and to be good stewards of her body. Persistently pursues the wisdom of God instead of the wisdom of the world. Fox News. Her biggest desire is to honor God. Bottom line, biggest desire is to honor God, right? So we're going to read the scripture now, okay? 2 Timothy 3:12. For those who want to read. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And then Romans 8:18, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's Romans 8:18. All the virtues she practices are aimed at making her husband's life better. When I read this to Fassel, he was like, wow. Did you write that? Yes, dear. That was number one, right? Teaching her children, if she has children, if she doesn't, there's lots of kids that need to be taught. And then serving God, right? So these are all the virtues that she practiced, not all of them, but that's a good start, right? Let's start with that. Just the first one. Okay. So that's, so what are some virtues to consider? So I went to 2 Corinthians and of course found virtues of faith, hope, and love. And I'm going to dig into that a little bit. So let's talk about faith. Name a woman of great faith. Just name one if you Sarah. Actually, well, no.
Name.
Ruth. Esther. Thank you.
Naomi.
Mary. Absolutely. The one woman that I came up with, and those were all choices that I thought about, but the one that I guess God, the Holy Spirit, gave me was the Gentile woman of Canaan in Matthew 15:21-28. And I considered that because even Jesus said, "A woman of great faith." So if Jesus said it, then it ain't me thinking. So I'll read the scripture in Matthew 15:21-28, saying, "She came and she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David." And she was Gentile. "My daughter is severely demon possessed." But he answered her not a word. He was silent. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." This woman's annoying, you know, and she's not even one of us. Boy, that was early in his ministry. Okay, so give him some grace. God, could you imagine what he thought? Okay. But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshiped him. Wow. She came and worshiped him and said, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." That is something we could cry out as often as we need to. There was a Muslim woman who was demon possessed, and she came to our church. We have on Wednesday nights in Pakistan at the main church, we have a prayer time for healing. So it's prayers. And this woman came and she sat and listened to it. It's mostly worship music and then a little bit of a message, but it's mostly worship. Just getting your heart ready and ready for God to work. And then if anybody needs healing or has a prayer request, they ask them to come up or the men gather around. Well, this woman was weeping. And she just said, "I've tried everything. I've opened my Quran. I'm being oppressed. She's seeing things on the wall. She's seeing words on the wall. And just in Pakistan, this demon stuff is real stuff. It's visible. It's visible everywhere." But so she came and confessed, and Fasil and her, and his guys, they all prayed over her, and she began convulsing on the floor, and many different things were happening, and she said, "So now what do I do?" And when this oppression comes, and he just says, "Just say, Lord, help." Or just, if you can't even say that, just say the name of Jesus. Just say Jesus out loud. So she went home and she began to practice these things. The next week she came and she brought a lei of flowers, which a lei of roses, which is a love offering. And she came up to the stage. She didn't even wait. She just came up right to the front of the stage and she says, "I have to talk to you." And she gave a testimony of how the Lord, she said she was talking to Jesus, that he was helping her. And she said that her Quran had said that if the words of, this is okay. If the words of Allah don't work, then you go to the people of the book. And she was told that the people of the book were Jesus Christ. The book is the Holy Bible, not the Quran. So she's giving testimony like this in Pakistan. So this woman, this Gentile woman, all she said was, "Lord, help me." And of course she's considering, it's her daughter that's severely possessed. So that's really going to get to your heart. My daughter right now is going, she has female issues. She's only 13. And,
I'm just praying for her. And it really hurts. I mean, I'm having pain in my jaw, but it doesn't bother me. That thing doesn't bother me. It's just like you get through it when it's your own pain. But when it's someone you care about, especially the innocence of children, it hurts your heart. And so I can understand why she was just like reaching out to anybody that she could for help. So here, this Gentile woman said, "Lord, help me." But he answered and he said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is what Jesus can do, you know? And I wonder if at this point he thought his Gentile ministry was starting here, or he considered. I mean, he came and he died. He was going to die for the whole world, and he knew this. But, you know, I just think about how he questioned it, and then he came on board because of the faith of the Gentile people. So then the second, this is the scripture, "I came for faith." So 2 Corinthians 4:13-14. "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believe and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord, the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus, both now and forever." Amen. Yeah. Okay. Now let's talk about hope. A woman of great hope. Anybody have a name? Faith, hope, and love kind of go together. I was, you know, as I was considering all these women of the Bible, I was like, well, she had hope and faith. And so the one I chose was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Okay? And even though she didn't fully know what the Holy Spirit and Jesus meant in every circumstance, as she's walking through this life with this son who's perfect, she lived, hopefully, living out God's will for her life. So she lived out God's will for her life. And the scripture that I came up with is 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The next virtue, and the very last, is the virtue of love, and I chose Mary Magdalene. Because of the scripture, "Those who have been forgiven much love much." It wasn't said that way, but in Luke 7:47, "Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves a little." And we all know that this is Mary Magdalene at the feet of Jesus coming in to anoint him. And these other men were saying, "Why are you letting that person touch you?" And, you know, "I'm just glad I let Jesus touch me," you know, because he continues to heal me and all the wounds that come with our choices, even our good choices, sometimes aren't the right choices because they're not spiritual choices. So love is also in 2 Corinthians 4:5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant, Lord, for Jesus' sake." So active agape love is the motivation to fulfill any obligation or to keep any agreement. So that's honor. You go to supper. You would think that such a subject would be dreadful to study, but in a wonderful plan of God, the worst things are always the best things. Think about that. The worst things are always the best things. So if you have something really bad going on in your life, you know, it's something that you need to live through so that you can be a comfort to others. Maybe they've never gone through something like that, like physical pain or the loss of a husband or anything. You know, personal things that are going on that nobody even knows. But the worst things are the best things.
Sorry.
So here's the scriptures again. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Will suffer persecution. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What is suffering in the Bible? The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. When sin entered the world, pain and suffering were introduced as a consequence of sin. Because of this, you and I now experience many levels of suffering during our lifetime, such as bodily pain, sickness, mental or emotional turmoil, death and persecution for our faith. In Pakistan, persecution for your faith is it's a daily thing there. It really saddens me to even have to say that. And I can only speak from Pakistan. I know it happens all over the world. But I thought about showing you pictures of, you know, persecution or people that have gone before us because they would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. But I thought, no, I want to just encourage you. I want to just use words that encourage. But it does happen. You could just get Voice of the Martyrs and read their magazine, because it's been happening from the beginning with the apostles and the Lord, and who knows what happened to the other men and women that followed. But our faith is in the Lord, and that's the main thing to always remember. So in 1 Peter 4, 12 to 16, I want to read some scripture here. This is has to do with suffering for God's glory. And it says in verse 12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, and when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of the God and of God rests upon you." And their part, and that's like a, I can imagine that God, the Holy Spirit, or Jesus will enter into that person's life at the time of their final sufferings. And he's just giving them grace, you know, to get through this. And so we shouldn't fear anything like that. "If you're reproaching for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. On their part, he is blaspheming, the person that's persecuting you. But on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" All those unbelievers that we need to give the gospel to, we need to consider that as often as possible. Sometimes I get annoying phone calls, or I have to make a call because something didn't work out right. And my ministry now, and Dottie can attest to this, is when we get done with business, I say, "Okay, are we done with business?" For whatever it is, it's the telephone company, or it's this. I go, "Okay, can I pray for you? I want to pray for you. You know, give me your name." And nine times out of 10, they were like, how did you know? How did you know I need a prayer? And it's just something that you can do. You could take something that's annoying, like having to make this phone call to the airline or whatever it is, and just ending it with this complete stranger and ending it with prayer. And just let the Spirit of God lead you, or even write a little prayer. This is my telephone prayer. You know? And start there. Okay. So, where did I end up stopping and read here? Okay. Okay, somewhere. I was reading scripture. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Ding. And if it begins with us first, what will the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Okay. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, right? Where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good, as to a faithful creator. And then the next scripture I'm going to read is from Romans 8. And that was the answer to our suffering. For consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole world groans. The whole creation groans and labors with birth pains until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Thank God. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How many times have we just not been able to pray because of our weakness? We're just tired, we're weary, we know we need to pray, but nothing's coming in our head. This happens to me on 14-hour flights. It happens to me from time to time. I literally don't have any words to pray. But I do know that God is interceding, and Jesus is. And I've got a team, and we've got people all over the world praying for us. What a glorious life. I mean, it's crazy. They're like, are you ever scared? And I'm never scared. And Fassel's brother, Rajesh, we moved him up to the third floor of the house, and he's kind of a heavy guy. And he was like, oh, I don't want to live way up there. You know, I think I'm going to get my own house. I go, don't leave this house. Don't leave this area. This place is like covered with prayers, you know. And it's just so comforting to know that no matter what, even in our most broken states, that God is praying for us. So, verse 28 from Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Do we love God? Yes. And to those who are called according to his purpose. So there is according to his purpose, right? Not according to our purpose. I think of the world today, and God must have a reason for allowing evil and suffering, but the reason is beyond human understanding. Christians also pray for those who suffer and try to help them. Evil and suffering in this life is a preparation for heaven and give us all the opportunity to become better people and improve our souls. So evil and suffering are a good thing because it helps us improve our souls. It helps us to choose sanctification and choose the right thing to do. And so here's the scripture again. Yes, and all who desire to live godly, which I do, in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Remember, we Christians huddle in our homes and in church prayer meetings. We may feel that we are facing situations far beyond our ability to cope, and yet we are told to pray for kings and all that are in high places, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity. 1 Timothy 2:2. According to the scripture, we can influence many of whom unknowingly are guiding history to its ultimate triumph for Christ. Everything is happening for a reason. Ukraine, China, everybody. It's all happening for a reason, okay? It's not, God isn't going, oh no, what do I do now, okay? And as praying Christians, awareness of this function should give each and every one of us an abiding sense of impact in the world events and world history, even from our position with our family in total submission to God, because remember, it is Satan who works in us social and political affairs, and he who is in us is far greater than he who is in the world. We got to pray. We got to pray for Biden, okay? We got to pray for Hillary. We got to, if she's alive. Oh, no. Anyway, just joking. No, we have to pray for people that we don't agree with. Through my experience with my wrong choices, with drug addiction, I was abused. I allowed myself to be abused because to have the drugs and the addiction was better to stay where I was than to, you know, I can't say trust in God, but, you know, I remember a police officer said, well, just leave. And it's like, it's not that easy when you're that far. Oh, yeah. When you're that far gone. So, just got distracted. Anyways, I prayed when I came to Christ and I started to read, I mean, when I started reading the Word of God and understanding who I was, I had just nightmares about this. How can I forgive these people? But I just did it. I just prayed for them. I said, I pray for them. I pray that they get to know you. I pray that maybe one day they can see how I've changed. And they would say, oh, whoever can do that has got to be like powerful or something. So, and I prayed him, and you know what it did? It released all of that hate, and I didn't even hate them. I felt sorry for them, but it released the burden that was in me. And so our prayers are very powerful. And if we pray for people that we don't understand and don't like and, you know, whatever. So I have to move on. Okay, so do you think our Lord suffered more than I? That's for sure. And I just was reading the scripture, and it says, you can imagine his suffering might have began here. Now, this is my thoughts. In Mark 6, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. That happened with Fassel when he became a believer. I mean, he started preaching, and they were like, you're nuts, you know, and all this stuff. Now Jesus could do no mighty work there except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. He just couldn't help himself. And he was astonished because of their unbelief. He was astonished because of their unbelief, because of his unbelief. And so, let us as virtuous women
not dishonor our country by failing not to pray for those in authority. Let us not dishonor our family and homes, especially our husbands, who are our little lords, because this is the form of disbelief. I remember when Faisal and I first got married, I was just trying to do everything right. And I'm in Pakistan, and I don't even know if he knew what I was saying. But I would call him my little lord. And he's like, oh, if only those days were here again. No. No, every now and then I do that. Okay, so I really thought that I would be done, but I'm not. I got a lot of stuff to talk about, you guys. In Christ, this is where my scripture comes. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I don't have enough time to really get into it. But we all know what in Christ is, right? We've heard it from multiple people. And so, hold on 1 second, because I'm skipping some stuff. The scripture, but be careful, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me, this is Paul talking, in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and all of them, all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. So, now in conclusion, I'm just going to conclude. There are two books that I was thinking about, and then I said no, three, that influenced my life greatly. The Holy Bible is one, which I constantly read through. I'm always gleaning from the Word of God. The next one, early in my walk, was The Christian Warrior by Lord Gene Cunningham. He is a Lord because he owns land in, he owns 1 foot of land in Scotland. And so does Nancy. Lady Nancy Cunningham, that was the next book. Woman of Honor, which these two books changed my life. As a young Christian, The Christian Warrior, it just gave me fire in my belly to think that it's not just being holy, because when I read the scripture, be holy as I'm holy, I'm like, I am not holy. You know, at the very beginning, you're like, no, I don't, that's got to be wrong. But The Christian Warrior, the way that Gene put it together with the help of the Holy Spirit and Scripture, just gave me another perspective on who I am. I'm like a warrior, okay. And then Honor, the Woman of Honor, gave me my femininity back. Because I was this tough girl that kept people at a bay because I didn't want them to see all the pain and the shame and everything. And so I remember I thought, I'll never be friends with women. You know, how does that even work? And then you eventually see the blessing and the comfort and the ease of talking to a woman instead of a man, right? Amen? Amen. Yeah. So I give thanks to God for each and every one of my sisters who have come alongside me in prayer, word, and deed, and you know who you are. And I'm just going to end it like this. Wik Dewey and Jesus, said a Pakistani influencer in my life.